You would open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 25. We'll be going there in a few moments. Exodus 25. We have a good number here today. Derek and I were talking about, I don't know how often it is that we have all the big kids home. We have Cole and Lance and Dustin all here with us in the room together, and that's pretty neat. I don't know how often we get that, but that's good to see you guys. And we have other visitors too, and you're certainly... We're glad to have you with us today. One of the things I remember having you guys in Bible Lab. And one of the things that we do in Bible Lab, and then, in fact, Sam and then we're doing it just recently, is stretching out a map or kind of a outline of the tabernacle on the floor with yarn. And you guys probably all remember doing that. Of course, the most important thing in the tabernacle was the Ark of the Covenant. And that's what we'll be talking about today. I would bet that most of us have a box at home where you put important things. Maybe you have more than one. I have more than one. We have a safe that's a fireproof box. And inside that we have birth certificates, car titles, things related to our home, stuff that you certainly wouldn't want to lose or be destroyed, social security cards and all those kind of things with some other odds and ends are in that box. And then we have a... kind of a memory box that was given to us as a wedding present. That's a wooden box with a lid, has our name on the top. And inside that's just some kind of random things that are more sentimental value instead of financial type papers. But it would be pictures and things like that. And also in there some CDs with electronic copies of years worth of digital photos and videos and things like that. And so I imagine everybody's got a similar thing. You might have a jewelry box where some things your grandmother gave you or some other precious things are kept. The kind of things where if your house was on fire and all the living things were out and you had a chance to run back in and grab one thing, is there maybe a particular item or a box of important papers or important possessions that would be the one thing? If everything else was gone, you'd be glad you at least got this, because inside of it is something so important that maybe couldn't be easily replaced or maybe not replaceable at all. Well, the children of Israel had such a box, and it kind of serves the purpose of all those things I just mentioned. Some memorial things, some keepsakes, some important papers or documents. In fact, it would be on stone instead of on paper. But it was a very important box, the most important possession they owned, in fact, as a people, and far and away more valuable than anything we'll ever own, I'm confident, both in physical value and in its importance. It was a crucial thing to the children of Israel, and that was this Ark of the Covenant. It was their most important and prized possession. And what's interesting as we think about it is that there are quite a few things we can learn about our relationship with God by thinking about this Ark of the Covenant. And in fact, as I was thinking about this month's lesson on the cross, I was thinking about the Day of Atonement. And the Day of Atonement has to do with approaching this Ark of the Covenant. And so I thought, well, we'll first start with talking about the Ark. And then when we have a good concept of the Ark and its purpose and its place among the people of Israel, then that'll be a nice introduction to thinking about the Day of Atonement and how that relates to Jesus' death on the cross. So that's kind of some big picture of where we're going with this. But today, this morning, we'll be just thinking about the Ark of the Covenant. We'll begin with looking at just the design of it in Exodus 25, verse 10, beginning of the instructions that were given to Moses on Mount Sinai. Chapter 24, by the way, is when they confirmed the covenant with God. God said, I want you to be my people. And they said, I do. And they had a meal and it was set. And they were now in this relationship with God. And so Moses goes back up on the mountain and God starts giving him instructions for things to do. And first on the list was build a tabernacle, or he started to give him instructions. Second was this Ark of the Covenant. Verse 11, verse 10, they shall make an ark of acacia wood. 2 cubits and a half shall be its length, 1.5 cubits its breadth, and 1.5 cubits its height. The word ark means a box or a chest. You might have thought it means a boat, because Noah's ark was a boat, right? But actually the word is more like a box or a chest. In fact, probably the ark that Noah made was more like a box than it was what we would typically think of. We usually, artistic depictions of it have it looking somewhat like a large wooden ship with a front end on it, that, you know, but that would really be designed to sail in a certain direction and go through the water. Really, the ark's purpose was to float and to come right back down when the flood receded. It didn't have a direction necessarily to it. It was probably, although we don't know, but the description of it is almost rectangular instead of more like a ship that we would think of. So it was probably also more like a box. That's really what the word means, a box or a chest. This one, of course, is much smaller than Noah's Ark. It's the dimensions are given in terms of cubits, but that would translate to roughly 45 inches by 27 inches by 27 inches. So if you want to kind of picture that, really this table down here is probably a fairly decent representation. So about 4 feet by 27 by 27 would be not too different than the basic size of this table that the Lord's Supper stuff is sitting on. So if you want to have a mental image, imagine that box. You'll be in the ballpark. Verse 11, you shall overlay it with pure gold. Inside and outside you shall overlay it. You shall make on a molding of gold around it. So that'd be a decorative feature. Cast 4 rings of gold for it. Put it on the 4 feet. And 2 rings on one side, 2 rings on the other. Make poles of acacia wood. Overlay them with gold. Put the poles in the rings on the sides of the ark to carry it. The poles shall remain in the rings. They should not be taken from it. And you shall put into the ark the testimony that I shall give you. We'll come to that in a minute. The main purpose of the ark was to hold the testimony. What is that? It was the tablets of stone, as we'll see in a moment. Verse 17, you shall make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2 cubits and a half shall be its length, 1.5 cubits its breadth. You shall make 2 cherubim of gold, of hammered work. You shall make them on the 2 ends of the mercy seat. 1 cherub on one end, 1 cherub on the other. Of 1 piece with the mercy seat shall you make the cherubim on its 2 ends. They shall spread out their wings above, overshadowing the mercy seat with their wings. Their faces to one another toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubim be. And you shall put the mercy seat on top of the ark, and in the ark you shall put the testimony I shall give you. So this artist depiction tries to describe that. You've got the cherubim, which are some sort of angelic type being, cherubs. In the Hebrew, by the way, I-M means just plural. So like we would have S. So a cherub would be one, cherubim would be multiple. So the cherubim, or these 2 cherubs, and they're facing each other, and they're facing the mercy seat, and their wings are stretched out over it. This is the lid of the box, of course, that goes over it, and it is called a seat. But it's pretty obvious by thinking about it and looking at it. It wasn't meant for a person to hop up there and sit on it. It was a seat for God, really. And God doesn't need a place to rest, but it sort of serves the function of a throne, of a seat, a place where you would approach God's presence. And we're told that God would speak to them over the mercy seat. And so these cherubim are heavenly type beings and clearly representative of God coming from a heavenly type place to talk to man there. And we'll come back to the purpose of it as we go along. Verse 22 introduces that. There I will meet with you from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubim that are on the ark of the testimony. I will meet with you about all that I will give you in commandment for the people of Israel. So this is going to be the place. You know, God had spoken to Moses out of a burning bush. And at various times and various ways, he spoke to people and talked to them in different, you know, throughout their history in different ways. But starting with this box, he's saying, this is going to be a place where you can come and I will talk to you from over this special box that you're going to build. Now, what goes inside the box? We talked about things that I have in my boxes. You might have different things in your boxes at home. So what is Israel going to put inside their special box? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. We have a nice little summary there in Hebrews 9 of what was in the box. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 3 through 5. Behind the second curtain was a second section called the Most Holy Place, having a golden altar of incense, the Ark of the Covenant covered on all sides with gold, in which was, here we go, a golden urn holding the manna, Aaron's staff that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. Above it were the cherubim of gold, of glory, overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we cannot now speak in detail. Well, he didn't have time to, but we're going to have time to in our lesson today. He said that wasn't, he had to move along in his lesson in Hebrews 9, but he does a good job of summarizing three things that were inside this special box. The first one he mentioned, we're not going to go in the order he mentions there, but of first importance was the testimony or the tablets of stone. So turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 10 to see when this happened. Deuteronomy 10 in the Old Testament. It is called, after all, we call it the Ark of the Covenant, and that's its central purpose, was to be a place to keep this special documents. Maybe like you would think of the deed to your house, if you have that. It's the thing that shows your ownership of your property. And that's, that deed, and a lot of times a deed is very much like a, or you might have a house, a contract where you contract somebody to buy it, and that special paperwork is maybe kept inside your box. And that's the idea here. Deuteronomy 10, beginning verse 1, at that time the Lord said to me, chisel out two stone tablets like the first ones and come up to me on the mountain. Also make a wooden ark. You remember why we're having to make two again? Because the first two had been broken, remember? In fact, there's a joke that Moses was the only one to ever break all 10 commandments at once. So now he's having to make new ones. And I will write on the tablets the words that were on the first tablets, which you broke. And then you are to put them in the ark. Okay, so now we're coming to what goes in there. So I made an ark out of acacia wood and chiseled out two stone tablets like the first ones. I went up on the mountain with the two tablets in my hands. The Lord wrote on these tablets what he had written before, the 10 commandments he had proclaimed to you on the mountain out of the fire on the day of assembly. And the Lord gave them to me. Then I came down the mountain and put the tablets in the ark I had made as the Lord commanded me, and they are there now. So Moses is talking to the people in Deuteronomy. This is second generation having come out of Egypt. Remember, the first generation had to wander around and die. And when these people, it'd be like if I was talking to you about stuff that happened with your parents. All right. And so Moses is telling them, when your parents were younger, before they all died, we were at the mountain and God gave me tablets of stone, second set, to be replacing the first ones I broke. And I put them in the box, and that's where they are. So he's talking to these people. Of course, they would never see inside the box. They had a box. In fact, they would never see the box. Remember that it was kept in the most holy place, and then when it traveled, they kept it covered up with blankets. It was kept because it was so holy that most of the people would never get a glimpse of it, and they certainly would never open it up to see what's inside of it. So Moses is now telling this second generation about what's inside the box. And the main thing that was in there were these tablets of stone on which God had written the 10 commandments. Now there's going to be a couple other things added, but interestingly, centuries later when Solomon built the temple, so now you have to go through all the history of the conquest, the judges, Saul, David, to get to Solomon. So we're talking about hundreds and hundreds of years later. When Solomon built the temple, they brought the ark into it, and that was like the big consecration of the temple, showing that God was kind of taking up residence, so to speak, inside this temple that Solomon built. There's this verse there in 1 Kings 8, verse 9, that says there was nothing in the ark except the two tablets of stone that Moses had put there at Horeb, where the Lord made a covenant with the people of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. I don't know why. I don't know what happened to the other contents that we'll see, the bowl of manna and Aaron's rod. Somehow, through the centuries, they weren't in there anymore. But still, at this time of Solomon's day, the one thing that was still in the ark were these two tables of stone that God gave to Moses on the mountain. And so, centuries later, in Solomon's day, that special box still had those two tablets of stone that God had written on. And that was still in the box. That was the most important thing, I would suggest to you, about the box, with these two tables of stone with the Ten Commandments. And there's an important lesson for us in that we'll come back to when we get to the applications of this in just a moment. So, remember that there were two other things that were mentioned in Hebrews where he said we're in the box. Another one was the bowl or the urn of manna. Turn back to Exodus 16. This was actually the oldest thing that was in the box. This was older than the tables of stone and Aaron's rod. You remember when God brought the people out of Egypt, one of the first things that happened, they started getting hungry. Can everybody understand that? Start walking for a ways, eat up whatever little bit you had in your pockets and in your bags, and then you start thinking, man, where are we going to eat out here? I don't see the golden arches anywhere. And they didn't know what they were going to do, so they started complaining, and God said, I'm going to feed you. And he caused bread to come down, of course, on the ground, manna, and this is in Exodus 16, Verse 31, beginning, when the house of Israel called its name manna, it was like coriander seed, white. The taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Moses said, this is what the Lord has commanded. Let an omer of it, that's a volume measurement, be kept throughout your generation so that they may see the bread with which I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you out of the land of Egypt. And Moses said to Aaron, take a jar and put an omer of manna in it and place it before the Lord to be kept throughout your generations. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron placed it before the testimony to be kept. So at that point, now that was before they even got to Sinai, before they made the box, before they did any of that. So this was the first thing when God fed on the bread. They gathered up an amount of it and they put it in a jar and kept it as a souvenir, sort of God's provision for them in the wilderness to show to future generations. Because remember that this bread from heaven only lasted during the time of their wilderness wandering. And once they took up residence in the land of Canaan, once they crossed the Jordan, the manna stopped. And so, but this would be a amount of it that they would keep as a keepsake that God had made this bread come down from heaven and fed them every day and took care of his people. And so they kept that. At this point, it just says they put it by the testimony, but Hebrews tells us that this actually ended up in the ark as well. So inside the keepsake box, if you're again thinking about yours, you might have at home what you're putting in there. We've got the two tables with the covenant, and now we've got this box, this urn, or this jar full of manna that's going to be put in the box too. And that's what one of the things. One other thing that goes in there, the third thing was Aaron's rod that budded. Do you remember that story? That's in Numbers chapter 17. Turn over there, please. This is right on the heels of number 16, which is when Korah and his men led a rebellion. This is a huge problem. They said to Moses and Aaron, who made you so important? Why do you get to be the leaders? Why are you get to tell us what to do? Aren't we all people of God? Why should we listen to you? And Korah and some other guys led this rebellion. You remember how that ended up? The ground opened up and swallowed up Korah and his people. And that was in chapter 16. Well, in chapter 17, the people are still upset. And so God has a plan to show them who is in authority. Beginning in verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the people of Israel and get from them staffs, one for each father's house from all their chiefs according to their father's houses, 12 staffs. Write each man's name on the staff. Write Aaron's name on the staff for Levi. For there shall be one staff for the head of each father's house. Then you shall deposit them in the tent of meeting before the testimony where I meet with you. So right in front of that testimony thing, the Ark of the Covenant. And then the staff of the man whom I shall choose shall sprout. Thus I shall make to cease from me the grumblings of the people of Israel which they grumble against you. So Moses does this, and they all took their staff and they put it before the Lord. In verse 8, on the next day, Moses went into the tent of testimony, and behold, the staff of Aaron for the house of Levi had sprouted and put forth buds and produced blossoms and bore ripe almonds. So God said, I'm going to cause it to sprout. It did a lot more than that. This staff, now picture your walking stick. Everybody's had walking sticks, right? So you got your walking stick. That thing's dead as it come, right? I mean, it's dead as a doornail. There's no life in it. And yet this one not only had little buds pop out of it, but it produced blossoms and almonds on his staff. So there's actually fruit on this staff, this walking stick sort of, that showed that God had chosen Aaron. Verse 9, then Moses brought out all the staffs from before the Lord to the people of Israel, and they looked, each man took his staff. Remember, they wrote their name on it. So the head of each family had their staff, but only one of them had these buds on it. Verse 10, the Lord said to Moses, put back the staff of Aaron before the testimony to be kept as a sign for the rebels that you may make an end of their grumblings against me lest they die. Thus Moses did as the Lord commanded him, so he did. And again, in Hebrews 9, it tells us that these three things were in the ark. Tables of stone, a bowl of manna, and Aaron's rod that had budded were put inside this box to be a keepsake for the people of Israel. So now that we've looked at this golden box and its design, its construction,